Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Shad and I are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, a lot to talk about in the precious metals space. Unfortunately, a lot on the negative side as we had a washout sell-off at the tail end of last week that even continued in early morning, Monday trading even before the U.S. markets were open. But you know what? Look, the drop in gold in that early morning Monday dropped right down to about that 1670 range where the March and April lows were. But then we compare it to the stocks, GDX, that's still above those March lows. GDXJ, though, that's below those March lows. So a real mixed basket here with gold right in the middle. Dave, what's your takeaway from this beatdown that's continuing with gold and now these lower levels that are being tested that are pretty critical support?
Oh, yeah. Sunday night was really interesting. We had the gold price flash crash like 87 bucks in like in the matter of about 45 minutes. Once Asian trading began, it was basically a liquidity black hole that was exacerbated by Japan, both Japan and Singapore on a holiday. And so there was not much liquidity. And then at 7 a.m. Tokyo time, those COMEX futures margin servers were opened up, and then the margin calls were hit, boom, and took gold all the way down to 1675. Well, actually 1677, but that 1675 is critical support there, where it double bottomed in March. And then silver also joined it and nearly hit critical support at 22. So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. But as far as I know, you asked me about the shares, especially the GDX holding up better than the GDXJ. The GDX has royalty companies in it, and the royalty companies have held up really well. If you take a look at Franco-Nevada, it's trading at an all-time high. So that has kept the GDX above its critical support level at 30, while the GDXJ has already made a 52-week low, and it's knocking on the door of critical support at 41. So it's really going to be interesting to see what happens during the next catalyst, which I think is going to be coming up here tomorrow with the CPI data, and then the next day PPI data. So I think the volatility is going to ramp up again. So in my experience, Corey, you know, when you see a major support level tested in the Asian market and then it snaps back, most likely that level is going to get tested again during COMEX trade. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the 1675 level get tapped again. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it pretty soon.
Well, Dave, you bring up an interesting point there, because this came up on our blog yesterday. I had mentioned just in passing that I thought, hey, at least that support when the Sunday night, you know, Monday morning flash crash happened, at least it went down and tested that double bottom from March, which was 1677 and 1673. And it got down to 1677, held and reversed back up. And a technician on our site made a really great point. He says, I don't personally like to see double bottoms get tested for a third time, meaning that once you see a triple bottom, or if you like to your point, if we get tested again in the U.S. markets, isn't that putting that level at severe risk of getting sliced through to the downside? And what are your thoughts if that happens?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I warned my subscribers about it yesterday in an alert. It's also, you have to factor in the fact that that uptrend line support was from the 2018 low that was broken. So that's where all those stop losses came in. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot more stop losses at 1675. So if these shorts are able to muster up some more selling down below 1675 and trigger those stops, you could see the 1550, 1575 area be tested really quickly. And that 1550, 1575 area is the 50% retracement from the move in gold from its low at 1050 to where it doubled in August of last year at 2100. So that's the 50% retracement level. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that seen, to see that tested really quickly. And that would get everybody out of the gold pool. I mean, there's a lot of people jumping ship right now, but that would get everybody out.
Yeah, fair enough. But Dave, if we take a step back and look at other markets, look at other, let's say, data or fundamentals that drive gold, everything's kind of going against gold right now, because back when gold was running, before some of this data came out, it seemed like gold was predicting higher inflation and an easy Fed and more money printing, all that stuff. But right now, when we understand what's happening, we have had real interest rates bottom. Inflation data has slowed. Interest rates are ticking higher. The dollar is moving higher. Economic data is looking stronger. And the Fed, expectations are they're going to start winding back their QE program. Who knows when, but that's where the market is leaning. Right now, it seems like everything is going against gold. So why force the issue on an investment right now when all the fundamentals? And I know people will say, well, the Fed's still printing money, but it's about the direction and the rate that they are printing money. That looks like it might start declining here. Who knows when? Again, all this is going against gold.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, let's face it. The fact of the matter is that whenever you have lots of rhetoric and talk about the Fed ending an easing cycle, there's just lots of jawboning going into it beforehand, which beats gold down. I mean, the gold had that move to nearly 2100 on what was about to take place. It's a forward looking indicator. It always has been. You know, the gold market, when gold hit $1,000 for the first time in 2008, it was gold that started to go down first before the stock market. So the gold move lower was predicting the stock market crash. And then when the gold crash ended at 680 in October, the stock market didn't stop going down until 6 months later in March of 2009. So it's always a great forward-looking indicator. And also, if you take a look back in the 70s when the inflation was happening, it was the same jawboning. The inflation was going to be transitory. It wasn't going to last. People bought it. So the gold price did not move higher. Commodities moved higher first. And the gold price didn't start to move higher until they started to raise interest rates. That's when the Fed basically says, look, okay, we give up. There is inflation and it's not transitory. So we got to start raising rates. So I wouldn't be surprised that this gold continues to go down until the market starts to price in the fact that the tapering is going to happen and then a rate hike is going to happen. Because I think it was during the press conference of the last FOMC meeting where Powell said that they're not going to taper until they raise rates. They're going to raise rates and they're going to taper at the same time. I think that's, I mean, he reiterated that. So it happened in 1999, where you had all this rhetoric going into the gold price getting down to 250, the brown bottom and all that. And once the Fed started raising rates, gold bottomed. It made a significant bottom in that area. 2016, same thing. You had the Fed rhetoric going all the way into the end of 2015. We're going to raise rates. And then when they finally did, that marked the bottom at 1050. So I wouldn't be surprised if gold continues to go down until the market is convinced or they actually do raise rates and start taking.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens with the Fed policy, whether they taper early, whether they hike, what happens with inflation. And that all underpins the backdrop of what happens in the precious metals. But if we shift over to the mining stocks, you know, the case could be made that these are still pretty good prices for the producers for silver or for gold. There's a lot of money being spent now, maybe some of the most money that's been spent in a decade on exploration. So there's a lot of drills turning for explorers. There's development companies that are trying to prove out their ounces in the ground and work on their economic studies. So how are you approaching the mining stocks right now? What areas are animating you? Are there any opportunities for people to invest, or should people steer clear until we see a rebound in the metals?
Well, I think the things to really stay clear of is drill plays. Because ever since the beginning of June, drill plays have been selling off. You know, each drill result release, investors have been using it as a liquidity event to sell their stock, no matter what the results are. Unless, of course, you were in Newfoundland a couple months ago. Those drill plays were going higher, but even those are starting to come off now. So I would stay away from drill plays for now. And I would definitely stay away from optionality plays. You know, these companies that are holding these huge deposits that need higher gold prices. But something that a company, a junior that is de-risking a large high margin project in a top tier jurisdiction that's cashed up through 2022, those are ones that you want to chart and watch and look for a good entry point on a stock like that. I mean, those are good companies to scale into now during this weakness, because let's face it, I mean, this is the time to buy. It's not a time to go all in, but it's a time to scale in. So we talked about this last week, Shad. You know, basically, you know, you take starter positions and you hope they go lower so you can scale into a full position and wait to buy the rest of your position if the gold price does get down to that 1550, 1575 level. And I tell you what, I think the GDX is going to tell us if that's going to happen. So because the GDX, I'm sorry, the GDXJ, because the GDXJ has already been telling us that gold is going lower ever since the beginning of June.
You're absolutely right. It has. And the stocks have really foretold this sell-off in gold. Dave, what's your take from some of these commentators? And we've even had them on the show saying the gold stocks are cheap compared to where the gold price is. In all fairness, we've heard this argument over the last couple years, probably over the last, well, about 5 years as gold started to move higher. But the fact of the matter is, market sets prices, right? So what is a reasonable valuation for these stocks if the trend in gold is lower? To me, it seems like these stocks are going to continue to move lower if that trend in gold moves lower. How do you balance out that argument saying, hey, gold's still at, let's say, 1700, these stocks are pricing in 1500, that means that the stocks are cheap?
Yeah, well, the old adage, we need to remain solvent until the market becomes rational, comes to mind when you're saying that. And you also have to take each junior on a case-by-case basis, because there are still some juniors that even that I hold that are still trading near 52-week highs. They haven't really come off that much. So you have to take each junior on a case-by-case basis. And you just have to have a watch list ready to scale into these things if it goes lower. Because, you know, you don't want to buy these things when they're going higher. You just don't. Because, I mean, a lot of people that got into this sector for the first time over a year ago, they're finding that out. You know, that move that happened in GDXJ took place in 4.8 months where it went up 180%. So a lot of people chased that move and they're already selling for tax loss or have already sold for tax loss. So you just got to be of the mindset that if you're going to play in this sandbox, you have to buy these stocks when they're going down, not when they're going up. And in order to buy a stock that's going down, you really got to do your homework. You really got to talk to the management. You have to find out when they raised, when the raises are coming off. Did they raise with a warrant? When do the warrants come due? But you have all that research you have to go into, factor in when you're going to actually start to scale into a stock.
Well, let me ask you one more, Dave, and that's about the producers. We typically talk about when the sector turns, we see that show up in the royalty stocks and the larger producers first, which is typically why GDX holds up a little better than GDXJ, because there's smaller mid-tiers in that one. And then the juniors usually have wild swings. So if that's true, when you think you're getting closer to a bottom, do you like to get into some of the producers, because they're the ones that are going to experience the first way to monetize an increase in the gold price or the silver price when it starts going higher? Do you like the producers near bottoms, or do you just like to focus more on the development side of things?
I do. I like growth oriented. I like junior, small cap growth oriented producers near bottom. There are a few that I'm watching here. So absolutely. If they've got a lot of growth in the pipeline, and their all-in cost of production is reasonable. Well, there's even one that I hold that their all-in cost of production right now is high, but they're building a mine, and which is fully funded. And once that comes online, their costs are going to be cut in half. So that growth is built into the stock, and the stock now is selling off after making a 52-week high a few weeks ago, because right now it's a higher cost producer. But you have to look ahead to the growth that you're getting that's gonna lower those costs and double their their ounce output per year. So you have to take a look at these things, and like you said, I mean, producers are, for me anyways, small cap producers that are growth oriented are good to watch here. But, take a look at jurisdiction, take a look at management, take a look at their all-in costs, take a look at their balance sheet. You know, I don't like debt in my stocks. So the companies that the growth-oriented producers that I hold don't have any debt.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Dave, I wish we could report on maybe some better news for the gold sector, but I do like your strategy of, you know what, just watching these stocks, isolating the stocks you like, and not getting too aggressive right now, because there is a good likelihood that we are going to go back in the gold price, test that 1670 range, and who knows, even break lower and run some more stops. So hopefully that doesn't happen, but history, at least in terms of charting, has told us that that's a possibility. And some of the stocks are also telling that. Dave, great chatting with you. As always, buddy, we'll chat next week. Have a great rest of your week.
You too, Corey. Thanks.